Okay, Parshas Naso. First idea I'd like to talk about is something I saw in Sefer Lekech HaLevuv by Rav Avraham Shor. Short idea. Parshas Naso, we learn about, there are many things in Parshas Naso. The largest parsha in the Torah, Kuf Ayin Vav. There are 176 psukim. It's the largest parsha. We know that in Tehillim. Mizmar Kuf. What's the Mizmar Kuf Yutess? 119, there are 176 psukim. Sechti Bava Basra has 176 bladaf. Okay, that's not the point. It's a large parasha. There's a lot of quantity and a lot of quality in Parshas Naso. And among the ideas, the themes that we come across is the parasha of Nazir. And right after the parasha of Nazir comes Birchas Kohanim. It's a little strange. You get the Aliyah Levi. You get the Aliyah, so there's a whole parsha Nazir. Nazir is it's Kodesh Kadoshim. A person who becomes Nazir has the same status as a Kohen Gadol. He's not allowed to contaminate to his close relatives. He's called a Kadosh, a holy person, dealing here with very, very holy matters. And then when it's all over, all of a sudden, Daber El Aaron, Yilbanav Lemar, Kos, Savaruchu, Espnei Yisrael, very quick, 1, 2, 3, Yivarechacha Hashem, Yishmerecha, Yoher Hashem, Yisa. What is the smichas between, the significance between, the connection between Berchas Kohanim and what comes before it, Nazir? So this is a very beautiful idea. What is Berchas Kohanim? It's a bracha. It is the model of all brachas. We all know now, we all know that when we need something, when we're going through a difficult situation in life, we go to a tzaddik, a Talmud Chacham, and we ask for a bracha. Why don't we ask Hashem for a bracha? Well, we do that also. But a Talmud Chacham, he is a channel. Through a Talmud Chacham, he has the ability to channel the bracha from a Kadosh Baruch Hu to us. Intermediary. He has a certain koyach. This is a theme with... And that all comes from, where does it all come from? Such a thing that go to a tzaddik and ask a tzaddik for a bracha. Go to Hashem, open up a siddur, speak direct to Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's such a thing that a tzaddik is close to Hashem. Hashem listens to a tzaddik, and if a tzaddik asks a Kadosh Baruch Hu to do something on behalf of us, if we would ask, it would not necessarily be granted, our request would not be granted. But if he asks on our behalf, then there is something more to it, it can work. That comes from Birchas Kohanim. Clear as day. That's what it's all about. Why is that so? Why is it true that a human being has the koyach to bring bracha? The answer is nazir. What is a nazir? A nazir is the highest level of kedusha an individual can reach through his own efforts. A nazir, a regular yisrael, not a kohen, an ordinary person, if he wants, all he has to do is accept upon himself a term of Nazirus. He conducts himself in the way that the Torah requires, and the Torah gives him the title Kadosh Yihyeh. He is a holy person. And he brings a set of Korbanos. Very powerful thing. And how does a Nazir accept upon himself his Nazirus? With words. All he has to say is Hareini Nazir. Two words. Hareini Nazir brings him, of course he has to follow through and do everything that he's supposed to do, to this incredible degree of Kedusha. From here we see the koyach hadibur of a human being, the koyach of speech, that just through your acceptance, your will, your conviction to be a Nazir, that itself triggers a process which brings you to a higher level of Kedusha. That is why a human being has the koyach to give a bracha, because a bracha are words. You say that this should be, this person should be blessed. Yivarechacha Hashem v'yishmerecha, Yoher Hashem panav elecha v'chunecha. Why do your words have significance? That is what we learn from Nazir, the koyach hadib. That's a simple, short idea of the smichas between Nazir and Berchas Kohanim. Now I want to go to another vart. This is one I'm very fond of. It's a vart from my great-grandfather, the Reish Rav. I believe I told this to you before, at least once. So I'll repeat very quickly because it's this week's parasha. We learn about Nazir. Nazir is not allowed to drink yayin. That's one of the main prohibitions. He's not allowed to contaminate himself to the dead, and he's not allowed to shave his hair. Those are the three primary halachas of a Nazir: the hair, the prohibition to cut his hair, to drink any product of the vine, and to contaminate the dead. And after the term of Nazirus is over, the Pasuk says, he brings his korbanos, and finally the Pasuk says, the achar yishte ha-nazir yayin. And when he concludes his term of Nazirus, he's now allowed to drink wine. Let me read you the entire pasuk. V'heinif oisam ha-kohen tunifo lefnei Hashem kodesh hu la-kohen al-chasei ha-tunifo v'al-shol kayem tumo v'achar yishte ha-nozir yoyin. It doesn't say that when the Nazir's term is over and now he can contaminate to the dead and now he can shave his hair. It does say that he should shave his hair, but the emphasis is the achar yishte hanozir yayin. So the Reish Rav says, if you study Tanakh, you will find that yayin has two qualities. Yayin is not, we associate wine with simcha. If a person wants to reach a state of joy, he drinks yayin, he takes in wine, he becomes happy. That's not so. Yayin is a tool, is an object which has the ability to deepen a person's emotions. And it all depends in which direction a person wants to go. A person desires to be in a state of simcha, of happiness. So then yayin is something which can enhance, can help him reach a level of simcha. We have the pasuk yayin yisamach levav enosh. Pasuk until we have many pasuk in which that yayin yisamach brings joy to the heart of man. But that's only where you want to have joy. You want to have joy, you use yayin as a tool to bring forth joy. But yayin is also used to give comfort. For example, pasuk in Mishlei, end of Mishlei, tenu shechar le'oved, the yayin le'mari nefesh. A person who is in a state of despair or bitterness, to him, give him yayin. If he wants to find comfort, to leave this depression, this state of sorrow, he's making that attempt, give him yayin. By giving him yayin, you will give him the ability to break out, it will assist in breaking out of this state of bad feeling of sorrow and depression. It's a tool to give comfort. That's what the nature of yayin is. They used to make a bracha by nichal aleilam. They used to give a cup of wine to be menachem the aveilam. They are seeking comfort, and yayin is a tool which will assist them in reaching that level of comfort. There are gemaras about this more cotton to describe the way it was done in ancient times. The Reish Rav takes note that there's a very big difference when wine is served to give comfort to a person that is in a state of sorrow, and where yayin is given to a person to enhance his joy. All of the psukim that discuss yayin in reference to joy makes no mention of someone else serving you wine. Take the wine yourself. Yayin yisamach levav enosh. But when the pasuk describes wine being given to a person who is suffering, and we attempt to take him out of that frame of mind, the pasuk is clear, tenu give. The wine is served. The person himself does not take the wine. The wine is given to him. He's in a frame of mind where he's not even able to think that he should take the wine to use as a tool to release himself from this depression. It has to be given. Tenu shechar lo'oved v'yayin l'mari nefesh. So now the Rishrav says, that's the case. We understand what's happening here at the end of the parasha of Nazir. The Nazir has abstained from yayin for at least 30 days. He's a holy person. He's trying to discipline himself. He's trying to train himself not to indulge in the good luxuries, and by doing so, he has to go through a period of time where he abstains. And now he has succeeded. He has completed the term. He's reached a darug of precious. And now, the rest of his life, when he'll come to drink a cup of wine, he'll know how to conduct himself. He'll be balanced. He'll remember the period of time in his life where he had to abstain, and now he's drinking wine in order to accomplish something. He knows not to get carried away. He's been disciplined, he's been balanced. So Hashem here, the Pasuk is not telling him, is telling him, oh, now that you have concluded your term of Nazir, it's okay, you can go back business as usual, you can go back home and you can drink wine and you can do whatever you want. No. The Reish Rav says the Pasuk here is giving him a bracha. You have trained yourself how to deal with the Yayin. I give you a bracha that for the rest of your life, the Achar, Yishte HaNazir Yayin. For the rest of your life, the only time you drink wine shall be through your own free will. It should never happen in your life that someone will serve you wine. Because if someone will have to serve you wine the rest of your life, that means you're in a state of mori nefesh, of oved. I'm giving you a bracha. You'll never be the rest of your life a mori nefesh, an oved. You'll always be besimcha. You'll always live the rest of your life yishte hanozer yai. You will take the wine yourself. You will rejoice. It's a beautiful bracha.
Is that realistic?
Maybe it is.
You have parents and they're alive and you become a Nazir. So what do you
Okay, I hear the question. I don't know. Okay. So there has to be balance. The answer has to be balanced. There are different types of Mori Nefesh, different dargas of Mori Nefesh. Bitterness and sadness. There are different dargas. If a person lives to the age of 200, is that
not realistic either.
A person who says, okay, so what's realistic? 100. Is that realistic? I think that's realistic in today's day and age. Mice and Mechol, young people live to 100. So it's not a good thing to die. We all know that. We have been to funerals where the person has died. He's 100 years old. And you don't see people sobbing. I mean, they're sad. And then we've been, Rahman would stand to funerals of young people. And it's a whole different story.
If he outlives his
sons, but that is a bracha. Now I just want to take this a step further. I think that's why I mentioned this to you when we learned Pesach. I want to step further. What do we do the night of Pesach? The night of Pesach, there's a hakpada. You drink yayin. There's a hakpada. You're not allowed to pour your own wine. Hakpada means we're required. We're strict. What you would say? There's a requirement that you do not pour your own wine. Someone else has to pour the wine on your behalf. But Pesach is a night of simcha, cheres. It's cheres. So it's cheres. Adram, according to the Reish Rav, Pumfar Keren, it should be that yishte hanazer yayin. It's a time of simcha. There should be a hakpada. We should be strict. Everyone should pour their own wine. It's simcha. The only time someone pours wine for you is a time where you're more nefesh.
The
Optus
comes first.
What?
That's
part of Chayrus.
But Chayrus
is free, so
Chayrus
is Simcha.
Oh,
but it's Simcha. The whole night of Pesach is a time of Simcha, Sehala. And according to this approach, the only time wine is poured is the Pasuk in Mishlei, where it says, give wine to the Oyved and the Mori Nefesh. By the Seder, you're reclining, you're besimcha chayrus, you're Mori Nefesh. It's a contradiction to the Pasuk. So the answer is no, that's exactly the point. You look very carefully at the Seder. Everything about the Seder has a dual nature. There is Moror and there's Matzah. Moror is the bitterness, Vayimoru es Chayehen. The night of Pesach is a bittersweet experience. It's not pure simcha. Avodim ayinu lefaro, the makom, we focus on the shibud, we focus on the fact that Shefei Chamoscha, Mashiach has not yet come, the Geula of Yitzias Mitzrayim was premature, and therefore it was not a Geula Shalema. There has to still be the ultimate Geula. We were supposed to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years. It's only because we sunk already to the 49th level of Tumah. If we Hashem waited for one more moment, we would have been finished. It would have been impossible for us to be redeemed. It's not a complete Simcha. It's a bittersweet experience. And therefore, by design, just like we have moror with matzah, koirich matzah, mor biyachad, matzah is cheres. Hashem revealed Himself. Matzu zo al shumo al shum shalai hispik b'tzekel l'hachmetz achin higla aleim melech malchem lochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'higla his son. Redemption. That's the pashat of matzah. Okay, it's lachamonis, but it's pashat, it's redemption. With the mara, korech. What's the mara? The bitterness. It's a bittersweet experience. By the seder, you have yayin. Yayin yisamach levav enosh. It's cheres. But it's not pure simcha. It's bittersweet. Tnu yayin la'oyved. V'sheicha la'oyved yayin la'mari nefesh. It's because it's not a complete simcha.
Why don't you split the other verses to maybe the first part of the Seder, which is all about the avoid of parach and all that? Okay, mashach.
Okay, can you be...
And the second two, it's the simcha, galenu, halal.
Okay, you have to... Okay, I hear you. You have to...
You know, along these points, that's very interesting. You know, Rav Soloveitchik, I think he said on Kaira, you have two kafshilin, right? And Pesach comes out the same night as
Tisha B'Av.
And on Tisha B'Av, you dafke don't have two tafshilin. It's this, right, when you...
Duality, this connection.
This point that you're making.
There's simcha with avelos. The simcha, it's a bitter... The night of Pesach is a bittersweet. It's very sweet, but it's bitter. But don't forget that it's bitter. You have both together. And you look at everything in the Seder. Everything that follows that pattern of extreme simcha, you bring out your finest. It's a beautiful night, but you have to also remember avodim einu l'fara, and we're still avodim to a certain amount. Avodim for the paro, but we're still in galus. Yeah.
What's that point for somebody else during the Pesach Seder?
What?
Who says when we're pointing for our neighbor that we're pointing for someone else?
That's what it says. Shulchan Aruch.
No, but I'm saying, when we get to Mamad Har Sinai,
yeah,
it says we're Ishahad Ledehad.
Yeah.
So,
well, what?
When I pour for myself,
okay.
But when I pour for who says that we're pouring for someone else?
We are, because that okay, it's simple. That's,
you know what I'm saying? When I pour for my neighbor, who says I'm pouring for someone else?
Achdus.
Other than my, that's what I'm saying.
There are different levels of Achdus, but you're still pouring for someone else. Okay, let's go to another idea. I want to go to the idea of Dirchas Kehanim. This idea is if you. Yeah.
That Naziris.
Yeah.
That is the Naziris nowadays.
We have no Naziris nowadays because you can't bring a carbon.
No, but you have, the Rambam says, the Pashtus, a Nazir who takes about Naziris these days,
yeah,
is a Nazir Allah.
Okay, I don't know the details. I'm not familiar with the details. But Derech Klal, there's no Naziris today. The details is another Olam, another Shimshon. Okay, I don't know. I do not know the details. Let's go further. Let's discuss the inyan of Birchas Kohanim. Birchas Kohanim has a very unique way of giving the bracha. Okay, I'm sure when your children, even when you're adults, you'll peek under the talus and you see the Kohanim are standing there. Any Kohanim here? Any Kohanim?
Yeah.
Okay, so you go like this. How, I can't do that. I remember when I was in elementary school, there was one Kohen in the class, and he told me that only if you were Kohen are you able to do this. And I couldn't do it. I was trying for hours to get my fingers apart. I couldn't do it. And he just like this, 1, 2, 3.
I don't know.
I was fascinated with this.
I don't know if it's Kohen's ability. I think you're not supposed to.
Not supposed to, but over the years I discovered there are Kohanim that can't do it. Correct. Goes to show. And there are Yisrael that can do it. Can't be like Yisrael. So even though when I was in elementary school, the Kohen could do it and we couldn't do it, but it's not a guarantee. You're a Kohen, you're not a Kohen, but you can do it. But no bending. No bending. No tricks. I won't.
They take the
scissors. Okay. Not everyone can do it. Okay, I understand. They raise their hands, open up the windows. Pasuk is based on a medrash. Mashkiach menachalino is made sits menacharake. Okay, there's a lot of kabbalistic inyanim. There are 5 different cracks, 7 cracks. I'm not. That's not the point I want to go into. But what is this? What's called nesiyah sabhai, lifting up your hands. It's perfectly parashas noso. Noso means to lift up. Part of giving the bracha is, part of the requirement is to lift up your hands. You lift up your hands to your shoulder length. Is that correct? Shoulder length, above the shoulder or shoulder length? So the whole time the Kohen Gadol, you can't lift his hands above the tzitz, but you basically lift your hands up to shoulder length, and you give a bracha. Why? Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu require this requirement? What is this all about? That's question number one. Number two is, why does the pasuk include after we have the bracha? After we have the three brachas, and then the pasuk concludes, "Vissamu eshmi al bnei Yisrael, va'ani al varchin." Now the truth is, the Gemara discusses, what does it mean? Who is Hashem blessing? So some in Farshim learned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem blesses bnei Yisrael, that the Kohanim are just the agents. When they say the words Yivarechacha, the pasuk concludes, don't think that the Kohanim have any real power. They are just intermediaries. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that is going to give the bracha. Hashem is going to give a bracha to Bnei Yisrael. Other Mefarshim learn is that Hashem will bless the Kohanim. Being that the Kohanim are blessing Bnei Yisrael, so who's going to bless them? You're blessing others. Hashem says, Kohanim, do not worry, I will bless you. So there are many interpretations of what it means, Vani Avarechim. But the question I want to ask is, what is this about, that a Kohanim lift up their hands? So I like to say a Jewish, the only other time in the Torah that we have this idea where you lift up your hands is by smicha. Where Hashem told Yehoshua, Hashem told Moshe, I want you to appoint Yehoshua to be your replacement, to take over, and lead Klal Yisrael. And the way you're going to do this is you're going to give him smicha. You're going to rest your hand. Hashem only told Moshe to rest a single hand upon Yehoshua, to rest his hand upon either his shoulder, his head. There's a whole question exactly how smicha was done. And Moshe Rabbeinu was generous, the Gemara says, that not only did he put one hand, he rested both hands upon Yehoshua. This is a beautiful Jewish. I remember Rav Shrab, he had a special way of giving smicha. He put one hand on the shoulder, the other hand on the head. There's a Torah on this, how to give smicha with putting hands on the shoulder, but Hashem only told Moshe to put one hand with one, to give a smicha with one hand, and there's no smicha with manazeh, that's just symbolic. The smicha's bottom is manazeh. But there is using the hand. Perhaps we can borrow, if we find this idea of using the hand by bircha, by smicha, and we find the idea of using a hand by birchas kohanim, we can borrow from one from the other, we can answer the question of what the pasuk means here, vani avarechem. What is the smicha all about? Smicha is clear, it represents the continuation of the Masorah. Moshe kibel Torah misina. Moshe was the one who directly received the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Moshe's time came to leave, and Moshe had to appoint a successor, he gave over the reins of leadership, he gave over the Masorah to the next generation. How did he do so? Technique. Smicha. It's symbolic, of course. Puts his hands on the shoulder and the head of Yehoshua. It's symbolic. But this is the way it's done. It represents a concept. What has been given to me, I now give over to you. And when your time comes to appoint a successor, you'll do the same. Yeshua gave smicha to the 70 Zekanim. He gave them smicha. And they in turn gave smicha to the next generation. And so on and so forth. And this went on for a period of time until smicha, the Churban, after the Churban by Sheni, where smicha was batal. There was a whole time where they tried to Rambam, to try to renew the smicha. It's very controversial, and so on and so forth. Mary Beirav, they even tried in recent times in Eretz Yisrael. It's a story to itself. But the concept is, smicha is clear as day. The idea behind smicha is to give the Mesorah over from the previous generation to the next generation. Now, let's go to Birchas Kohanim. What are the brachas of Birchas Kohanim? The brachas of Birchas Kohanim, the ultimate bracha is the brachas that Hashem gave the Avos. Okay, we go through all the psukim. We can't go all the psukim now, but all over the Chumash Bereishis, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is blessing Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And these brachos were transmitted from generation to generation until the time of Matan Torah. They build the Migdash. And now, the Kohanim, basically, this is when they bless Klal Yisrael, what are they really doing? The fact that they're using their hands, and that using the hands represents the idea of giving over to the next generation, giving over the Masorah, the brachos that they're giving are not new brachos. They're just taking the brachos that were given down by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the avos and passed down to their children and to the next generation. Birchos Chaim is where you give the brachos, the existing brachos, over to the next generation. It's part of a chain of bracha. And that's why it is done bedafka, using the hands. And now we can understand what the pasuk concludes. Hashem says, Kosu Baruch Hasmei Sholem Olohem, they should use their hands. In these psukim, Yivarechacha, Yoher, and Yisod, is incorporated, is koilel, all the brachos of the past that Hashem has given the avos, give it over further to the next generation. And then Hashem says, and when you'll do that, this Samu al Shia b'nei Yisrael, va'ani avarechem, and then I will give new brachos. Va'achaltem yosha noshan. There are two sets of brachos. There's the brachos of the avos, and there's new brach. And the brachos of Birchos Kehanim are the old brachos, which are highly cherished. And if we merit to properly receive and appreciate the old brachos, Vani of Orchaim, I'll give you new brachos that didn't exist yet in this world. And this is one idea about Birchos. Now I want to discuss another idea. Now this idea, I want to throw out some questions. This is totally new to me, what I've came across yesterday, and I find it to be fascinating. First question. We take it for granted that a Kohen, before he recites Birchos Kehanim, makes a brach. Baruch Adam, it's a very unusual brach. Baruch Adam Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kedushanu B'Kedushasoy Shel Aharon. With the Kedusha Vitzivanu Levarech Es Ano Yisrael Be'Ahava. If you were writing the bracha, it was up to you to say Baruch Adam Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvotzivanu Al Birchos Kehanim. Or Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvotzivanu Levarech Es Yisrael. What's this Asher Kedushanu B'Kedushasoy Shel Aharon? Very, very unusual bracha. Every bracha is very straightforward. And then the pasuk concludes, Be'ahava. Okay, so ahava is not such a question because a bracha has to be given with love. We're dealing with a bracha. Okay, you should know that not everyone agrees that a bracha should be recited. There are opinions. There were people that did not make a bracha on Birchas Kehanim. And they bring their ra'ayah from Birchas Hamazon. The only time we are required to bench, to give a bracha, make a bracha min haTorah, is Birchas Hamazon, v'yachalta v'savata uveirachta es Hashem Elokecha. So the question is, very interesting question, before you recite Birchas Hamazon, you should make a bracha. You come to bench, right? You're coming to bench, you finish on a nice meal, you Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu al Birchas Hamazon. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hazan es Olam Klal B'Tuvo. You should make a bracha on the bracha. Doesn't that make sense? Every time you do a mitzvah, you make a bracha. The main Birchas Hamazon is the mitzvah, so you should make a bracha on Birchas Hamazon.
But it's words; it's not a
mitzvah. So it's words, but that's what the Torah wants you to do. The Torah wants you to recite Kriya Shema. We make a bracha on Kriya Shema. The Torah says, "V'shach lecha v'kumecha."
Like Sri Yisraim is words, but we don't have a bracha built into it.
We do.
Words of Sri Yisraim itself.
But we make, before we count the days, before we recite the words, counting is nothing.
You don't have a double bracha. You're saying bracha is one of
the Oh, you just said the answer. Double bracha. Oh, so it's not words.
But it's a double bracha.
Oh, double bracha. That's a different answer. If you're going to tell me just words, you can't make a bracha on words, you can't make a bracha. So the answer is, it's not logical you should make a bracha for a bracha. Since the mitzvah is to make a bracha, that's the mitzvah. Chazal required us to make a bracha when the Torah told us to do something. It's an innovation of Chazal. But when the Torah says make the bracha, the Torah beat us to it. Right? The Torah beats, so you don't make. So Birchos Kehanim is the same thing. What is Birchos Kehanim? Give a bracha. I'm telling you to give a bracha. I'm telling you to give. You make a bracha for giving a bracha. Okay, it's not the same type of bracha. Bracha is a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You give the bracha to your fellow man. But your fellow man is a chelik melokam imal. Every neshama of Klal Yisrael is a chelik of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're blessing Hashem. When you bless your friend, you're blessing Hashem. A human being is Hashem's creation. You're blessing Hashem, that's really what it is. It's a very good question. When you recite Berachos Kehanim, you're blessing Klal Yisrael. Who is Klal Yisrael? This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's child. It's a chelik me'elokam minal. So you're making a bracha on a bracha? Doesn't make any sense. Just like it's readily understandable why you don't make a bracha on Berachos HaMazon, it's readily understandable why you don't make a bracha, or you should not have to make a bracha on Berachos Kehanim. It's a very good kash. And in fact, I saw, where did I see this? I don't remember anymore. there were opinions in halacha that did not make a bracha. Kehanim got up to the duchah, they didn't make a bracha. And the fact, it's interesting, there's a whole tumult that if you have 10 kohanim, why should every single one make a bracha and everyone say bracha? All the kohanim should just listen. Shemei ha-kohen, it's not going to go very well. One kohen will make the bracha, and all the kohanim will answer amen, and one kohen will say the bracha, yivarech. Everyone will listen. Shemei ha-kohen. It's hard enough that one should make a bracha. Everyone should make a bracha. Very good kasha. No, it's not acceptable. Halacha l'maisa, you make a bracha. As far as I know, that today it's unacceptable. I don't know every single minhag, every single type of Sephardim, Yemenites, and all different parts of the world, they retain their minhagim. But as far as I know, it's unheard of. Every time there is Berachos Kehanim, a bracha is recited. So what is going on here? So, okay, that's one question. Another question is this is a beautiful Baal Haturim in this week's parasha. We know that the Kohanim, we are recipients of gifts. There are Chof Dalid Matnos Kohuna. 24 gifts. They receive the Zroya, the Lechayayim V'Akeva, the Truma, Chazav V'Shoik. 24 gifts. There are 24 gifts that Kohanim are entitled to receive in payment for their service for Klal Yisrael. They do not have the Chilik in Eretz Yisrael. They serve as teachers. They learn their kollel the whole year. I mean, that's a whole discussion how the system is set up in an ideal system. But basically, they serve in the Beis Hamikdash. They serve the spiritual needs of Klal Yisrael. They are not involved in an official occupation, and therefore they need to be supported. The service says the way society will be set up is that the Bnei Yisrael will give the Kohanim gifts, 24 gifts. The Baal HaTurim says there's a 25th gift. What is the 25th gift? Kol Sivaruchu Es B'nei Yisrael. Birchos Kehanim begins, Da'ber El Aharon V'Yalban of Leymar, Kol. Kol is Chof Hei. They're Chof Dalet Matnes Kehuna. This, that they have the ability to bless Klal Yisrael, is Kol. Chof Hei is number 25. Kol Sivaruchu, 25th. So the question is, this is the Baal HaTurim. Beautiful Baal HaTurim. Everyone asks the Baal HaTurim for that. That's not a gift. That's an obligation. A gift means you take. You give. You give me. I take. You fill up my bank account with money. Here, I have to give. I have to make sure I come early to davening so I can do Birchos Kehanim. I can raise my hands. It's not so easy to keep my hands raised for a long period of time and to sway back and forth, especially when the tzibur is saying these long yehirat songs. They're going on and on, their dreams. I got to work every day. This is not easy. Every day I got to do it. It's hard work. This is a gift. It's a good kash. This is not a gift. Okay, so to answer all these questions, now the obvious answer is that the ultimate gift is to have the ability to give someone else a bracha. That's a musar. That a gift doesn't mean you give a person to give you. If you're a taker, you feel like a nothing. That's a horrible thing to be a taker. The greatest hanah in life is to have the opportunity to give. And this 25th bracha is the ultimate bracha. Because the other 24 gifts, they're gifts. Okay, they don't feel that they're taking handouts because they're providing services. They serve in the Beis HaMikdash. They work hard. They're teachers. They're rabbanim. They serve in the community. They're entitled, but they're taking. The ability for me to bless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the power to bless a human being. That is the ultimate gift. The ability to give, there's no greater gift than giving. And you giving me that koyach, that is the ultimate, that is, I think, that is like the best answer, and that's the simplest answer, and it's the obvious answer. But yet, I want to use that point to bring out something which I want to come to right now. Now, I saw something which was fascinating to me. Everyone knows about this Rambam. Every time I want to learn the Rashi, let's just put it a little bit of time. There is a, you have to study this on your own. There is a Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot. And the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot says something that is fascinating, tremendous chiddush. And it sees Medayik, this is really looking at Sefer Yoshua and Sefer Shmuel. It's explicit, it's beferish, that this is true. And that, as we learned in this week's parasha, the beginning of the parasha, we learned about the Kohanim, about the carrying of the Kalim, the Levim. The Levim were given the role, the function of carrying the Mishkan, the Klei HaMishkan in the desert. While they travel from place to place during the Masos, they would take all of the Kalim and take apart the Mishkan, store it on the wagons, and guide the wagons to the next destination where the Anani HaKavod would tell them to go, and then they would remove the Kalim from the wagons and construct the Mishkan and wait until the next time they were required to travel. Everything was transported on wagons except for the Aron. The Aron was transported on the shoulder, Bakosef Yisau. That was the exception. It had to be taken by hand. There were tubadim for Kohanim. They carried very delicately the Aron, even though it was impossible for the Aron to be carried. If we make a calculation of how much the gold weighed, the kruvim, it was impossible for four human beings to carry. It was impossible for four little sticks to hold the weight of these massive the Aron. It was a nace. The Aron carried those that carried it. Okay, who the Torah explicitly says who should carry the Aron? The Levim. Just like the Levim carried all of the other Kalim, they also should carry the Aron. The Rambam comes along and says an awesome chiddush. The truth is, the one that's supposed to carry the Aron are the Kohanim. And indeed in Sefer Yoshua we find it was the Kohanim that were carrying the Aron. In Sefer Shmuel it was the Kohanim. Levim, they're not supposed to carry the Aron. The only reason we find here in Parshas Naso the Kohanim are carrying, the Levim are carrying the Aron, was because there was a shortage of Kohanim. Believe it or not, there was a shortage. Not enough Kohanim, so they had no choice but to give the Aron to the Levim. That's what the Rambam says. And this, there's a lot of Torah on this. This is clear. It is the role of the Kohanim to carry the Aron, ideally. There's a brisker that explains this in detail, but that's not the point we want to discuss now. Okay. What do I want now? That's one thing. Now, when they carry the Aron, how do you carry the Aron? Bakosef Yisau. What's Bakosef mean? The shoulder. It has to go on the shoulder. In fact, it has to go on the right shoulder. And that's why you're carrying, so the Kohen that stood on the left, in front, would stand with seemingly his back to the Aron, because it had to go on his right shoulder. And the Kohen that stood on the right had to turn it backwards, so it should go on his right shoulder. They carried a very unique configuration. Fine. But it was ideally given to the Kohanim to carry the Aron, Bakosef Yisau. Next. When the Kohanim do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, we have many, many psukim. The Torah always emphasizes that they should use their fingers. They shall apply the blood to the corners of the Mizbeach bo'etzba. Okay, I don't have them tip my tongue all of the psukim, but there are numerous psukim in Parashas Vayikra and Parashas Achremos, the different Avodah, that the blood is to be applied to the corners of the Mizbeach with the finger, bo'etzba. The avoda is done with the fingers. What do Kohanim, what are their role? What is the role of a Kohen? Two roles. Number one, to carry the Aron. Number two, to do the avoda. The Aron represents Torah, learning Torah. And how is that expressed? How is that described? Bakosef Yisau. In fact, Yisachar, who excelled in Limudat Torah, Vayet Shichmo Lispol. He bent down his shoulder to bear the burden of Torah. When it comes to Torah, you bear the weight of Torah on your shoulder. That is the mush, that's the metaphor. Avoda represents what we would call today tefillah, prayer. Bringing korbanos is the highest form of tefillah, prayer. We don't have korbanos, so with a shalom of farim sifaseinu. But when a kohen brought a korban, he was doing the same thing that we would do when we would daven, with proper kavana. We're totally lost. We have no idea of what it means to bring a korban. But one thing is clear: korban and tefillah are the same. It's coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are the two roles of Kohanim. Torah and Tefillah. The Oron Bakosef Yisoru. Carry the weight of Torah on your shoulders. Avoda, serve Hashem. Tefillah, Karbonos, which is done b'etzba with the fingers. Now we come to Bichos Kehanim. There's a Medrash. The Medrash says, Mashkiach HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about the Kehanim, Vani Avarichem, I'm going to bless the Jewish people. How am I going to bless the Jewish people? Through you, the Kohanim. You're going to get up at the Avnim, you're going to get up in front of the Beis HaKnesses, from the Ona Kodesh, and they're going to recite Ritzei, and they're going to answer the Bracha of Ritzei, Sho'iz Chulvatla, B'yir Navoit, and then you're going to say the Bracha Sivo Rechecha, and you're going to lift up your hands. How do you lift up your hands? You lift up your hands to your shoulder, and you put your hands in a unique configuration. And Hashem says, I'm going to be standing in the Aron Kodesh, I'm going to be looking outwards. The Medrash Yashir. Mashkiach min hachaloinois. I'm going to be looking out of the windows. The window is the Aron Kodesh. And the, where am I going to be looking? The Medrash explicitly says, I'm going to be looking from right behind your shoulder. Meitzitz min hacharakim. I'm going to look in between the cracks. I'm going to look between those fingers. I'm going to hide right behind you. Looking right over your shoulder, looking right in between your fingers. Now I'm going to seek my people. And I'm going to contribute to the bracha. I'm going to give koyach to your bracha. And I'm divani avarechei. The shoulders and the fingers. Now, why is it we started? What's this funny thing that Kohanim, they lift up their hands? Why are they lifting up their hands? The answer is, the koyach to give bracha comes from the shleimus of Torah and Tefillah. If your person is going through a difficult time, you want a bracha, who do you go to get a bracha? So if you look around today, I don't get anything negative at all, chas v'shalom, there are people that excel in Torah. Tremendous talmidei chachamim, masmidim. They learn yom v'layla. Comes time for davening, they daven. Halacha. They daven kedas v'chadin 100%. But it's not their thing. It's just not their thing. They daven every single word halacha. They daven a good davening. But they don't daven a long Shemona Esrei. It's just not their big thing. It's good. Nothing. Then you find people that davening is their thing. You watch them daven. Just watching them, it's something to see. There are a few people like that. You have to know where to go. It's their thing. Learning? No, they're not the biggest Talmidei Chacham. They know how to learn. They're good and fine. It's very rare to find a Shalem. Very rare to find a person who is an awesome Talmud Chacham and is a Bala Voda. Person that knows how to daven. So you're sure? He's one of those. He knows how to daven. You see him daven. He knows how to learn, dance. It's very rare to find a person that has a blend of Torah. I don't mean in Chasham, they're big Rosh Yeshivas. I don't mean anything Chas V'Shalem. I just mean the extra, extra, extra level. That is what Hashem wants from the Kohanim. Bakosef Yisau, and put the blood on the Mizbeach with your fingers. When Hashem says, I'm going to bless Klal Yisrael, it's going to be through the Kohanim. They're going to lift up their hands, kineged their shoulders, and they're going to put their fingers in a unique configuration. And through this, I will mashpia bracha upon Klal Yisrael. Why do you make a bracha? We started. Well, it's a very funny bracha. Asher Kiddushanu doesn't say, Al Birchas Kohanim, Ulevariches Yisrael. Asher kiddushanu b'kedushasoy shel Aharon. The bracha is not on the bracha is not on the bracha. The bracha is on the lifting up of the hands. That's the ikar bracha. You're not making a bracha on the bracha. You can't make a bracha on the bracha. That's like making a bracha on Birchas Hamazon. You're making a bracha that Hashem has given us the role of focusing and excelling on Torah and Tefillah. On the shoulders, Bakosef Yisohu, and on using our fingers to be an oved, to bring karbanos. This is the Kiddushasoy Shel Aharon. Aharon is the Kohen Gadol who does the avoda, but also Sifsei Kohen Yishmeru Das Ki Torah Yivakesh Lipihu. It's Meferesh Pasuk. Who do you seek Torah from? From the Kohen. The Kedushasai Shel Aroy is the lifting up of the hands. The primary focus of the bracha is the lifting up of the hands. What's the 25th bracha, the gift that Hashem gave them? The gift is Hashem gave them that you are designated to serve in the role of Bakosef Yisoul, and I'm giving you the gift that you are designated to do the avodah. That's the gift. Memela, once you have the shoulders and the fingers, memela you're roi to give brachas. Memela you're a shalem, you have the milus of Torah and Tefillah. Memela, kosev aruch hu es b'nei Yisrael, you're the one that has the koyach to give the bracha, yivrech Hashem Yisrael, and so on and so forth. So this is a beautiful idea to take together all of these things, this idea, part of it I was inspired to most of this by from Pinchas Horowitz in Shvilei Pinchas. So his whole focus is something totally different. He was focusing on the bracha mishuleshes, but he just says derech agav this medrash of meitzitz menacharakim, mashkiach menachalodes meitz menacharakim, the shoulders and the fingers, Torah utfila. This is kedushas shalaron. It's all the kashas. That's what the bracha is. That's why they get the 25th bracha. And that's how, and that is why there's a requirement for them to lift their hand. And the limud ha-musa for us is the chashivos, to achieve shleimus, is you have to have both. You can't settle for one without the other. And when we come to be machshav and give kavod to talmidei chachamim, shleimus is defined in terms of the synthesis of Torah and tefillah. Okay, we'll stop here.